running it now, so hopefully it won't crash, because the last two of them, they crashed. So that's what you get for using a PDA. That's,
well, can I suggest that we...
This isn't to be the official secretary, but just we just need somebody to keep records of the meeting. It doesn't have to be as thorough as what I did.
It doesn't have to be a board member
necessarily, right? To take notes.
We do need to eventually fill the position.
Yeah, we do. So the hunt is on.
With a non-staff person.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'd like to welcome everybody to this meeting today. How is everyone doing?
Great. How
are
you?
I literally flew in yesterday, even though I my flight should have came in on Saturday night at 9. I should have flew in Saturday night at 9, but I flew in yesterday at 3. Flight was canceled after sitting on the tarmac for almost 2 hours. And then the next morning, got delayed, missed connection, got delayed again, missed the connection, and then eventually made it home. So that's my story, and been gone for the past 2 weeks, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, and then Kansas City.
Welcome back.
Yeah, so, I know, I've been awful busy, so I apologize for not being as in the loop as I normally would have been, but traveling a lot this summer to educational conferences, and I think I included you guys in with the last one that I was at, not the last one, but the one prior to that, AAFCS, or American Association of Family Consumer Sciences. I felt that was a very good conference because it was beneficial in not just in my business, but also learning about the state of education in that arena, and how they're adapting to it, because they're one of the least groups to adapt. Oh, my God, I had this made up.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. So that's where I'm at. So I'm a little frazzled, a little jet lagged. But I'm here, and we'll get things moving. So. First thing we like to go over is last meeting's minutes. I spelled your name correctly this time, Tim? I spelled your name correctly?
Yes.
This time? All right, wonderful.
I did.
So do I have a motion to accept this minutes?
No move.
Second? Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Signifies by saying aye. Those opposed? All right, the minutes have been accepted. Now before I move on to the next piece, I forgot to do this earlier, but I wanted to start this meeting off with a little YouTube video, because it really states how the kids are nowadays. And this was a really interesting piece that was put together by a university professor, which I had the privilege of meeting. It's called Vision of Students Today. So let's play it. If you've ever seen this video before, it's becoming very popular in the education arena. You'll see one.
Yes, yes. Probably.
I hope we'll be able to figure that out later in the meeting, but I wanted to start out with this little blip before moving on. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, that
seems like the chalkboard is somewhat antiquated, isn't it?
Quite so.
Actually,
just a little
whiteboard.
Yeah, whiteboard. Chalkboard or whiteboard. Okay, so moving on, back on task again. With that little sidebar. That's the financial report review.
Does anybody have any questions?
Pull it out and take a look at it.
Some of it you'll be covering on the executive report. Because of the grants and stuff. I've heard the grants, I'm assuming it'll be adjusted.
Right, because it gets adjusted like in another month or so.
Right,
this is to be. Right. Okay. If you have any other questions, so right now, are you solely preparing these?
Yes.
Since you're preparing these, are there any items that you need to highlight or you can highlight during the executive report?
No, really other than individual donations are still down, but we are taking steps to learn how to make them not down anymore. We are about $60,000 over what our budget projections were for this year. Well within budget for what we anticipated for summer without any additional money coming in and there are a few programs that we still have yet to invoice for. We definitely had profit to step this building up, which is just at about $7,500 as far as cost in with the technology. I think that's pretty much it. Once we get final numbers as far as grant moves received and things like that, then we can actually really start to take a look at next year's budget.
So right now, it's kind of, we're waiting for reservation. Okay. Do I have any questions on the financial report? Okay. I have a motion to accept the financial report as presented.
So moved.
A second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion. Financial report has been accepted by the board. Moving on to the executive director's reports. Regina.
Realistically, we don't have super much to go over. We're still kind of waiting to hear from Prangy as far as what he was charging for the website. I told him that I had a budget of no more than $5,000, preferably closer to $4,000. We actually have $3,400 from the Piper grant to help us. He's willing to do a lot of the pro bono work so that we can have about a $10,000 site for about half the cost of that, including audio, visual, flash, media stuff on there. Teacher pages so that they can fill their time cards out online, submit them, past evaluations and stuff like that, PDFs that they can pull off really quickly, as well as an artist for our artist membership so that they can blog and talk back and forth to each other, whether it's about classroom management issues or, you know, if they need a drummer for their gig on Saturday. sort of make the website a lot more interactive, a lot less dense. Right now, all of our pages have a lot of information on them, and we have 20 pages full of a lot of information. So we're actually looking at close to a 60-page site by the time the links lead you everywhere else that you need to go. So we haven't gotten a proposal yet, but we're still waiting. And we will get a couple of the proposals to come in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if we need to get three, or is that a process
that we need to go through? You know, he's not a board member, so, you know, we can decide we just like his work and want to go with it. Has anybody gone to his website?
I was going
to
ask if we can do that now.
Yeah, sure, we can.
Just a
yeah, not a problem.
And the benefit for us having him is that he understands.
Yeah,
what,
he's one of our teaching members.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That would be.
Yeah, like all the logo work and everything, you know,
he'll cover
all of that.
Fuck. If I actually spell.
Got it.
Solo creation. Oh, I would say this is not his site.
Soul creation.
Oh, soul creation. I'm
yeah.
sorry. Soul creation.
This is an example of the logo work that he's done.
So you're saying this is his company, right? Oh, yeah. So this is what he does on the side.
Yes, this is how he supports his Brazilian drumming habit.
Others and an innovator. So that's that. So it's just a matter of whenever he gets back to you, and he doesn't have to
do right. Yeah, time. He's on tour right now on the East Coast, and he'll do that on the 8th. So.
Okay.
Then the other one is Ear Candy Productions. I've met twice with mutual friends. How did we find him?
There was a, we have a mutual friend, and when he told my friend what he did, my friend John, you know, said, hey, you should talk to these folks. So that's a simple introduction that way. And he and I met for about an hour or so over coffee, and sounded like there's some potential for connections.
What did you think of the personal?
Oh. Interesting, you know, a little...
I have a main concern. I don't know how forthright he is. You know, he says that he's a broker.
Mm-hmm. A
real estate broker. And, you know, Ron is in real estate footprint. Right. So it was really funny. The first time that we met with him, they were doing a gig out at Tempe Town Lakes. The following day, that was actually set up through Magellan, I think, and Prangy's group, and Book Clan, which is the on the spring right now, we're both performing together, and those are two of our guest stars that we use. So it was kind of a small world that particular day.
Awesome.
But the thing is that he's not a broker, so I can't find any evidence of his brokerage license online anywhere for the Department of Real Estate. Now, he is a licensed real estate agent. He hasn't been licensed super long, so I'm not really sure where his funding is coming from. You know, and I don't know where their resources are. They're still waiting on their 501c3. They're a really new company. So before we start getting really in deep with these folks, I want to get some recommendations from the sources that I trust on him. Because I think he has a definite desire to help people, and he has a definite passion about the mission. What they do is they basically throw charity events, concerts, grand opening kind of things, always with the twist of any profits that they raise goes towards a specific charity that's already earmarked by the people that they're working with. So a particular furniture store is doing a huge grand opening event and they're selling artwork, and so all the proceeds from the event go towards whatever charity the furniture store has earmarked for that particular event. Now that's their first phase, is just building up their event business. The second phase is program implementation, which he's been really honest about. You know, he said, I know how to throw an event, I know how to get corporate sponsorship, I know how to develop media and press relations. I don't know how to take the profits of what we're doing and turn that into program implementation for the kids. So that's where we come into play. If they support us, if they actually help us raise the money, then they can actually say that they're fulfilling their mission of making the world a better place to live through music. Because right now, they're supporting things like cystic fibrosis and stuff like that, which is great, mm-hmm. But it's not what their primary mission is. So, they're a really small staff. They're working out of his condo right now and telecommuting a lot, keeping their overhead really low, which is also a really healthy thing for a nonprofit. But, like I said, I just don't know that much about them, you know. And they don't really have a clue as far as education. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
So what is our potential risk?
Our potential risk is minimal right now because we're not doing business with them.
I mean, if we do business with them, then what's the risk?
You know, it depends. He would like to do a small fundraiser with us at no cost to us in the fall, just so we can kind of get used to how he works. They're also very interested in helping us put on our 10-year event and finding a sponsorship for that event. My biggest concern would be that they would want money to do that. And I don't, you know, he hasn't ever said anything about that, but that would be like a big red flag. So, the one kind of cool thing that he did do is he contacted their treasurer at Silver Lakes Conservatory in L.A. This is a conservatory that was founded by Fleet. We found out some very cool things about that particular place. They only have 8 lesson rooms. We have 3 now. We have potential for 4 more if we can ever get the second half of this building. And they serve 600 students. 450 of them are on paid tuition. 150 are on scholarship. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the treasurer said he'd be happy to look over our 990s and compare them to their 990s, their 7-year organization, and their annual income revenue is $1.5 million per year. Now part of that is because, you know, Fleet founded the organization, and so he calls up Metallica and says, hey guys, you want to throw a benefit concert for us? And they said, sure, yeah, no problem. So yeah, they have Metallica do a benefit concert for every year, and, you know, so there's a little bit of that celebrity impact behind them. But other than that, you go online, you take a look at Silver Lakes Conservatory, they have lesson rooms just like we have lesson rooms. You know, the soundproofing is really good. They can afford, you know, to spend $4,000 a room on soundproofing. But other than that, you know.
Yeah, you know, the good thing, I would proceed slowly and cautiously the way you sound like you are. And I met him, and we talked for a long, long time. But when I left, it was like, well, I don't know exactly what that produced. So I thought, well, I don't, you know, obviously, you need to, Gina needs to talk to him. And there was just something there that I wasn't completely 100% comfortable with. But I think he does have that passion. He has that mission. And, it, you know, but he wants to do other things, too. Like, he wants to be a producer, a promoter. And there are people that are doing that already in town. And it's hard to get into that business. I mean, you can't go and take, you know, bands that, you know, Live Nation has been playing on or other promoters in town. And he's just seemed really ambitious about doing certain things. And why can't I do these things? So, I think proceeding slowly, cautiously would be great. So they're not a nonprofit yet?
They're still waiting on their 501c3.
They're not a nonprofit.
They say they are, and they're in the process of, but it's not official yet.
Yeah. And so right now, anybody that is not a nonprofit would need to attach themselves to a nonprofit in order for them to be able to get corporate sponsorships, of some of which are automatically going to absorb or take in. So there is that consideration. I would just go in as just the way you intend to, and whatever proposals are submitted our way, you know, let's do it. Let's consider them. And as far as Silver Lake is concerned, I'm glad he did that, actually, because when we talked, you know, I mentioned to him that, you know, ever since day one of coming on board here, my personal goal was for us to get close to what Silver Lake is doing, and that's, like you mentioned, a full-on building with the studios. Half of the kids are tuition paying, and the other half aren't, because they serve the community needs. And like Regina said, you know, when you please one of the founders of it, that makes a big difference. And so he jumped on that right away. And I think, quite frankly, he just wants to go after glamorous things. And a lot of people do. They want to be promoters. And 10 people go in and become promoters, and one name stays. That's just the nature of that field. So I don't know what his staying power is. I would say let's give him the benefit of the doubt, proceed slowly, and see what he wants to do exactly.
Yeah. The other thing I told him is I wanted to really go, whatever event he has next, I want to go and talk to people and see what it's like doing business with him.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Or we could even contact Hess. You know, whoever he's out.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really a whole lot there.
Oh, there isn't?
Yeah. And, like, I talked to Footplant, I talked to Friendy, you know, to see, and they talked to the manager of Footplant.
Well, actually, we can talk to Magellan.
And we can talk to Magellan. That's who we're going to, that's who we have to go through.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Oh, it says
that. But I noticed that he has product marketing.
Yes.
And he has a network of business people, vendors that he's trying to hook people up with. So he's also curing customers for businesses. So there may be some way that they support him.
Right.
Because he there was a piece in there where, you know, he says, I've got 52,000 different kinds of businesses and you're in it. I mean,
right. And
so he's got some sales going on.
But
I'm saying, you know, in terms of, I'm not sure which piece is the prominent piece in terms of what he's doing. I mean, obviously he's networking, but if he's selling for these people, then they have to be financially supporting him in some way. You say, or he could be getting a fee for sending business. I mean, it seems like there's a couple of little businesses going on here.
Sure, and that's what it is. What he reminded me of was a social venture entrepreneur. Quite honestly.
Yeah, because I saw that piece. I'm like, okay, let me check.
So I can do a background research on
it. He's a nonprofit but he wants money to put on events.
Well, you know what? Sometimes they do. I'm not clear how
nonprofit.
Well, nonprofits can't serve nonprofits, so.
Oh, right. No, I know, but I'm just, it just doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to want money. He's never asked for it, but, I mean, that would be the big red flag, is if they're saying, oh, we're going to help you put on an event, we need a $2,000 investment to make that a reality. You know, a lot of the PSA people that we've been going to find out about you know, that say, oh, we can help you get funding and we can help you find donors for that. We're going to need $2,000 up front to make that a reality, you know, and that's like your big red flag to say no.
The other thing, too, is that as, you know, and this is switching over to the email you guys sent about who are the musicians in town and things like that. As we grow, now that we have the building, and as we move closer to the status of the Silver Lake, the relationships will follow with Live Nation, with all the big producers in town. And if he is trying to get into their market with I don't care what they think attitude, then that may burn some potential bridges that we haven't even built yet with individuals that they're here. That was the only one of the, and it really, when we were having this conversation, it really didn't have anything to do with PCM and him. It was just what his thoughts were on the market. And it was, I'm coming into town. So that, I don't know, I think maybe waiting some time will be good.
I think time is going to be good. The other thing is that, you know, long-term, their short-term goals are to actually help the Albertson program and implementation and get some music programs in some schools, which is awesome. Long-term goals, they want to have what we have in Haverly. You know what I mean? They want, like, a venue with some recording studios and some actual studio space that kids can field trip to during the day and they can rent out and utilize for educational purposes, but also actually have
performance
space. So it's a little different than what we do because it's more of a recording aspect of things. But he's also talking about, you know, just good, solid, old-fashioned music education, which he admitted he doesn't know anything about.
And I think what appeals to him the most about us is that that's what we are. We're the opposite of that. We're substance. I mean, we have these core
classes. Yeah, we have no flash.
Sands and drills. But we don't need the flash right now. We need to keep building this way we're doing. There's a potential for a match. There is a potential for a match, but there's also potential for us to be steered the wrong way, but into some
right areas.
Areas that we probably shouldn't be going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would agree. I would like to find out how he gets his public sponsorship because that's not something that I'm really well versed in. You know, I can write a mean grant, but I don't know that much about public sponsorships. So.
And then also with the organizations that he's worked with, it wouldn't hurt to do a little investigative work to see if those corporate sponsors are satisfied or if they keep coming back. That's a good indicator, too. All right.
Lodestar update real quick. We have the July 11th Lodestar webinar. Please, if you can at all, participate in that. They want as much board participation as possible. This is really going to go over how the mission, vision, values affect you as board members, as well as what your roles and responsibilities are as board members to make this program successful. They're really easy to use. It's about an hour and a half on the phone.
It goes really fast. Yeah, we're headset,
yeah. It goes really fast, and you follow along with a PowerPoint on the computer. For those of you, hopefully everybody's logged on and got the link afterwards with the PowerPoint, because that's really good information. We did meet with our consultant last week, and I joined us with that meeting. Brian and Tiffany are not here, so I'm going to just recap it really, really quickly. She was really happy with our space. She thought the building was awesome. I think we need to get rid of the mortgage company next door so we can have the whole space. I said, we will, not yet. Okay. Was very excited about the enthusiasm that she saw with Ryan and Tiffany and I on the phone. She said that, you know, we need to decide as we're doing our strategic planning that we need to set realistic goals for ourselves, that we need to make sure that staff isn't being asked to do more than they can accommodate. At the same time, that staff make sure that they're not just saying, yes, we can do that, yes, we can do that, yes, we can do that. Oh my God, how are we going to do that? So to be realistic in our goal setting, always think that if we always to check anytime we take on a new project to make sure that we have the infrastructure to support it, find model practices and other nonprofits. And then to try and find things that support the organization's overall infrastructure. because that's going to be a big inhibitor of growth at this point in time, is that we just don't have the staffing to keep up with continued growth. So just try to find more grants for capacity building, try to find federal funding for after school programs and allow for program management dollars. Interns, really suggested a lot of use of interns, and she's been out to try and make those connections at Arizona State University so that we can get good interns. And then she said just with this consultancy, really to make sure that we're asking a lot of questions, and that's how we're going to stand out as an organization, is that we're just going to need to really be inquisitive. When we're dealing with donors, to tell them how we are a solution to an overall problem. You know, don't say, we need money to do this, we need. Say, community needs this, and this is how we help the community serve that need. So to really change the verbiage in that. To find out our niche, especially right now in the economy being the way it is, what do we provide that's of value so much that we're different from just the other after-school providers or the, you know, other program people? What do we do that's special, even for music education? When we're doing our corporate sponsorships and United Way and any employee giving, that never exceeds more than 5 to 6% of our annual budget, because those are not guaranteed monies. And they can come and they can go, and that we need to be aware of that. And then how to make a, for instance, buying a company donating $10,000 to our organization. How can we make that gift a model for other organizations or other corporations that we're involved with? And say, look, this company really stepped up to the plate. You know, how, so to utilize our gifts, and for each major gift to have a PR plan attached to it. I like this one. She was very, what did you think of her? I mean, you didn't get to see her.
Oh, I didn't get to see her, but from over the phone, she sounded very experienced and very, like,
she's from New York.
Like,
you know, so she's so, like, shoot from the hip, it's not mm-hmm. funny. You know, she's yeah. like, don't be afraid to do anything big, bold, and rash.
Oh,
you need
I'm
to
so
take
sorry
risk.
I missed
her. Yeah, yeah,
know? This leads to innovation. This is what you need to be doing. So, no holds, nothing held back. Yeah. That we need to help, as board members and as staff, we need to help each other find our motivations, really figure out why we're here at the table, what's in it for us as people, how are our lives being enriched, and to give you guys assignments and tasks that that speak to those motivating factors. She said the two things we need a celebrity on our board, and we need, how does she say it? We need a little old lady, a philanthropist. Mm-hmm. The blue-haired lady is what she called her, with money. Who knows a lot of other people with money to donate to the organization. Her suggestion was to start getting a subscription to Trend Magazine, because it's basically, you know, societal times for Phoenix area, and to start making a list and actually targeting it at board members, that these are people that we want to make friends of our organization.
Front doors, too. Society. Front doors.
Front doors.
Mm-hmm. I just found out about them this past year. So what they do is they go to events and they take pictures, and then it's a society page.
Yeah. And, you know, another good place to look is the Business Journal.
Yeah.
And to that, Renee is now officially our Business Journal person. She is starting to make inroads about making relationships with the editor staff, and you know, like if she sees one of our partners mentioned in there, Trisha McCartney was mentioned for Starshine, she sent her an email on behalf of BCN saying, well, it's so wonderful that we saw you in the Business Journal, and, you know, just making those kinds of networking connections. To try and do some larger music companies like Premium and connect with those people for sponsorships. Try and hit the malls, and then really she suggested as we're moving into the new year, at the beginning of our fiscal year, to have a board retreat, like an all-day Saturday kind of a thing, where we sit down together and look at our budget and look at our projects, and then break into small work groups. So, you know, like 10-year event committee work group and the marketing work group and really just all these things that keep getting put on the back burner, really just hammer some of them out. And have a professional development speaker come as well so that we can have some more professional development for that day. And then to...
Is that like another herb or something? Or kind of like another herb?
Kind of like another herb. I mean, we could probably have her come and do something else, but she would be really available right now. You know, maybe on the Academy of the Ask or, you know, whatever the case may be. She said that we kind of need to form a triangle of workmanship. That as board members, you need to go out and start making friends with people and letting them know about the organization. But when it comes time to really start to get them involved in the organization, to bring some other person along, whether it's, so, you know, you have the board member, the friend, and the person of knowledge. Now, that person of knowledge would be someone like myself, one of the teaching artists, Nye, if he's comfortable with this. And then you don't need to do this all the time, but maybe the first 4 or 5 times until you feel really comfortable with that knowledge piece. And never ask for a donation. Just always say, hey, we just wanted to update you on what's happening here and look at this. And, you know, we know that you have a really vested interest in our after school program, so we just wanted to let you know about this really cool thing that we're doing. So that was our community. And the only other thing I wanted to touch base on really quickly was the City of Phoenix Office of Arts and Culture.
Sorry.
No problem. They're totally restructuring the after school programs now that we've gotten them down to a really good science, you know. Basically, what they want us to do is they want us to teach the creative process.
Okay.
Creativity and innovation. And it's based off the work of Sir Ken Robinson, who was a speaker last year at the Americans for the Arts Conference. Brilliant man. Really talking about how divergent thought and creativity is not being taught in schools in any way, shape, or form. And with the industrialized model of the classroom, this isn't cutting it. It's not where kids are today. And yet we keep teaching in this fashion because that's how we're set up to teach, you know. So how do we, as educators and as musicians and music educators, as teaching artists, go in and start speaking to teaching creativity, especially when they're really looking at a program that's more interdisciplinary than just music. They really want to focus on all the arts, to have a comprehensive arts program, so you're including, you know, visual arts, you're including dance, you're including, and so you're not really focusing on form and technique, which are the when you're teaching music, for those of you who have taken music before, that's how you start out. You start out with form and technique. You don't necessarily start out with, you know, creativity and composition right away, you know, unless you're key.
Except in some cultures.
But even with, and it doesn't matter.
Or then they break it down.
Classical violin, piano, or even the Brazilian percussion. The way you're learning it is different. You're learning it orally instead of visually. But it's still, you know, okay, you have to be able to do this. And the second step is you have to be able to, so it's process-based learning compared to creating this creative learning environment and managing centers and stuff like that. So if we're going to be competitive and we want work, we're going to have to kind of revamp our whole system. So right now I'm spending a lot of time reading a lot about creativity in the music classroom. There's a professor at ASU who was published by Cambridge Press about 2 years ago on this particular subject, and I found the article online. We only have a little portion of it online, so I emailed him. He emailed over the whole article and offered to sit down with us and really talk about what his research findings were. So that's what's happening there. And they only, you know, they want the proposals done by the end of July.
So do we have the resources and the teachers to do the whole diverse aspect of the after school?
Yeah, most of them, especially considering that most of the kids are primary. And that makes a huge difference. If you're teaching K through 3, okay, I mean, all you have to do is be like, okay, you guys, let's pretend. And they're there with you every step of the way. So it's a matter of just giving the teachers... You know, and so many of them have multiple backgrounds anyway. You know, people in Liliana and Flamenco do a lot of movement, music relationships, as well as hardcore music, you know. Hector always teaches his kids Latin American dances to go along with the songs that they're learning, and You know, most of the teachers are already doing a lot of interdisciplinary work anyway, just because that's how kids relate. You know, some of them don't learn by music. Some of them have to move. You know, some of them have to talk. But I think we can do better at it. You know, so it might mean some professional development for our teaching artists. Luckily, we have enough connections in each of the artistic areas. You know, Stella can come in and work with us on prose and poetry and, you know, really teaching her writing. Lily and I can work with us on dance and movement, and, you know, a couple of the visual artists can come and work with us on that aspect for those of us who have most of our training in music.
Wonderful. I really like that aspect because that also helps hone in on our basically our competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Anything else? Pool party?
Kind of a bust.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I bought sodas. I said I was only doing chips and salsa, but then I ended up buying a whole bunch of stuff that like three people hate.
Oh.
So yeah, kind of a bust. Well, the fact will be fine, but then the actual, you know, getting them to commit on evening day showing up, you know, that was kind of hard. So
if we were to do another pool party in the future, what would drive it to a better success, I guess?
I don't know.
Or should we even bother?
Well, and maybe we'll have, you know, during the next faculty meeting, I'll pick their brains, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could have a party here.
Yeah, exactly.
No. I think here is going to be a better
maybe
spot.
Like a just like a social event rather than a pool.
Yeah.
Maybe not many people like pools.
I'm still talking about the open house.
Yeah, that's true.
Mini performance.
Okay, perfect. Well.
Well, is there a further do we need to do anything with that interpreter then? Is that part of
it? We're just waiting.
Okay.
And then I wanted to find out because it's got to be submitted to tomorrow. Do you guys like your bag? Is there any good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My only comment about the ad. I like the ad, but I don't like the picture of the building. It doesn't really say anything. It says.
Yeah, and you really can't see the sign.
Yeah. So it really doesn't. It doesn't draw anything, and I think it detracts from the overall.
What's really cool are the kids playing.
Yeah, and, the kids playing are just wonderful.
And that little kid's giving you the finger.
But I mean, if we wanted a building, I think a hand drawn, a crayon style building would be nice, you know, something like that. I don't know, but if we had to put something in there, that's. But
do we need to put
a picture of the door? You know what's on the door outside the entrance of a nice poster? It's really pretty.
Now we've got a question about. I know that's not our logo. And if she wanted to do something in the interim without putting out whatever our logo might be, but that kind of looks like a logo. So.
What's that?
Venus Conservatory.
Right here. Yeah. I don't know if it just needs to say Venus Conservatory Music, but it looks like a logo. So I'm wondering, this I'm just really playing devil's advocate here, if that might be construed as a logo.
Yeah, I
was thinking that too. It struck me as.
Do you think we should just say in just regular Arial font or whatever the same font is, just Phoenix Conservatory.
I don't think there's any harm in it. Really.
I kind of like it.
That's the thing. I like it too.
But
it seems as if it's a logo.
If it's a logo and we don't stick with it, it's still a good logo.
Well, but then that's not a good branding.
It doesn't matter. We're not branding anything right now, right?
We still have our old logo.
Yeah.
I was thinking we should keep our old logo on there.
No, I don't. It's all black and white compared to all the color that's on
there. Well, Dan, you should pull up your. Okay, actually, wait. I wonder if I could pull. I could probably pull up the. I'll pull up the. In color so we can see it because we have black and white printouts here.
You mean the new ones?
Huh? No, I'm just saying, you have a color copy, no one else has a color copy.
I see.
I'm home.
Yeah.
I printed it at home. I printed the same thing.
But you have people see it?
Yeah. Wait, oops, that's the wrong one. Is it? Wait, is it? No, that's right. How come the picture stuff in here?
Executive director's report.
Yeah.
It takes a while. It's a lot of nights showing.
Yeah.
So even though we don't like our old logo, it's still people recognize a picture and that sticks with them, so it's really changed.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Because even though we may not like our logo, until we actually change to our new logo, people still recognize
our logo,
and it sticks with them, and that's how people associate, like the branding and the name recognition.
Well, I would suggest along those lines is because they can go to the website, we'll tell them to go there, they're going to see another logo.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really neat. I love this. I mean, that's a candidate for our logo, I think.
Yeah.
But it might be behoove us to use either our old logo or just have it directly on.
Tiffany Denninger is one of our board members.
That's sweet. It's too sweet. That's
Okay, so overall what we're looking at is taking out the picture of the building.
Yeah, don't need that.
Placing it here.
Is it actually going to work? No, it doesn't want to work. The building is closed. The room is
closed. It's a special room.
Is this this building?
No.
Yeah.
That's this building.
Yeah, but it doesn't say anything to it.
But
to it
doesn't speak.
It's not really a special building.
Yeah, no.
It's
not like this brand new art deco.
Yeah. Like Frank Lloyd's creation.
It'd be better to have an
inside
picture of a room.
How if we have like kids doing it?
Right. Yeah. This is awesome.
Every picture should have a kid in it, like, you know, or we could do like a human pyramid of kids in front of that building.
Or just a snapshot of ears.
Have a kid in front of that organ right there.
Organ?
Yeah. Pretty exciting.
It's
amazing.
You should be able to.
I have to
go on tomorrow. Yeah. So maybe right above music, we can stick like a really small copy of our current logo.
Right here.
Yeah.
Is this just, this says what we are, and then the other one's just PCM, so it's a logo.
I need to finish it.
Well, we could, there's nothing wrong with two logos. I mean, you have one, which is a symbolic logo, and the other one, which is the...
Well, there's two
factors with logo definition. And, you know, one is, like, you create a symbol, which doesn't really say what you are, but it symbolizes what you are. But you have to have lots and lots of money to create that symbol into it. Or you have a symbol which has the name of what you are, which costs a lot less money to brand. So, and that's why I say there's reason to have both, because unless if you're Nike, and you can spend billions of dollars making the switch, you know, their brand, you know, we don't have that money to turn.
No, I completely understand it. Yeah. All I'm saying is that says what we are. Our own logo just is PCM.
Yeah.
I understand that, but there's a potential for this to be viewed as the logo, which would then cause confusion among what we're trying to brand.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? Because it's a logo. It is a logo.
It is a logo. It's going up to, but I really don't see where the confusion happens.
The main reason why we're not using these other logos is because they're not final logos.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're not using it because we don't want to create that confusion. Well, this is very similar to this. They're the same thing. So it's like, why not use one of our... You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're interchangeable at this point.
So I think if somebody goes on...
That's also true.
I think if you go onto the website and you just seem to subtract music with that way, and then you see the PCM logo on the website, you're like, well, am I in the right place? And then you have to go back, and you have to read a little bit more and take that extra time.
I don't see this logo on the webpage.
Well, I really don't see how, if they, I mean, I'm just not being a devil's advocate. Like, if somebody sees that and they go to our website and they see a different logo, are they going to say this is not the right place?
In my head, I think it would kind of look, I'd have to vote on the logo, approve it now, throw it out.
Well, I've just seen this for the first time.
I don't know that I'm ready for, you know, for that. But what if we did just do a little, like our PCM, just right above the music, right there?
You mean right here?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, this spot.
Which is great, but it's really not addressing the issue that I think, at least, myself that Larry and I have, and that's we probably should use this at all.
Oh,
and maybe that's for this flyer.
I think that if we don't have that with the colors, especially since it's a full color app, that we're going to be selling our shop shirts.
But that's the same argument that he was using earlier, is that don't make a sign if you're not sure that your logo is complete, that you're completely sure. That's the argument I'm making. We're throwing another logo to replace a logo that we didn't want to put up. Follow what I'm saying?
Can we, because I think what makes it a logo for me is the way the conservatory and the sea kind of goes through the Phoenix. If we could just make it all Phoenix conservatory music, all that same red.
The same red.
I think that would be less of a, it might still have somewhat of a brand look, but it wouldn't have that real logo feel. Like when I go to the webpage, I'm going to expect to see kind of going to the Phoenix.
Probably be better to do all or nothing rather than start playing.
Well, no, I mean, I think what Hillary's saying is I was saying put our logo up in any kind of font. The spelling out of Phoenix Conservatory Music.
There's still a style too.
And she's saying to do it in what's red, and I think that
if you want to stand out.
Here's my really harsh opinion on logos, and I know we've been bickering about this for like the past year, frankly, I'm fed up with it. Okay, and realistically, we're not big enough to really care what kind of logo or branding that's going to happen because we are an organization about serving people, and we are in essence ourselves. Ourselves are our logos. We are the logo. And any image that we put out there isn't going to matter to anybody out there unless if they're already in that particular field. We're not like Nike. We're not like Pepsi. We don't need a broad-based audience to really recognize us. And I frankly think and sincerely believe that it's a waste of our time to continue bickering about what the logo should be.
I don't think we're bickering. No, we are.
I'm just saying that, you know, because everyone has their opinion about what the logo should
be.
And we can never come to a consensus. And I think we're going to remain on that path for a year because we've been on this path for a year.
What needs to happen is that the logo needs to be resolved. The logo, not what gets put on a flyer.
So
we need to resolve the logo. Mm-hmm.
So in this particular instance.
Until we do that, and I thought we were in agreement as a board, that we would not put anything out as a logo that wasn't completely voted on. And that's going against that.
Yeah.
This putting this on is going against that. You need sentiment. It's not about bickering about what the logo is. It's going against what we agree to not do. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do see what you mean.
Is because I don't know the answer to this question, I'll ask it, is the previous logo that's the one that everybody's
made. That's our logo.
Yes. Is it well known?
I mean, do our constituents?
No, I would say actually no. If you were another arts organization and you saw that, you'd probably be like, oh yeah, PCM. Yeah. If you are our students, 50-50 shot.
They're more tied into our name.
I mean, where do people see this logo? Where do they typically
on our website, on our flyers, on our newsletters, on everything that we put out?
They go out with that logo.
And you're going to create something that you're only going to put out with one. That, as a marketing person.
Your argument is well taken if this is known. If this is a known logo.
Well, that's a relative question. I mean, it's known to whoever visits our website, whoever receives our electronic newsletters, whoever sees existing flyers that we have, people that may not be students, but they might be potential funders or people that we want to partner with, including other organizations. So.
Okay, so for what we're going to tell Tiffany is to get rid of the picture of the building.
Right.
Put another kid picture in there.
Yeah.
Or rearrange them. Take the Phoenix Conservatory of Music and make it one font.
We do, because the...
You have to spell out.
I mean, basically, I mean, we make it the same font, we're dumbing it down, in essence. So, and, you know, and I'm of the opinion that despite the confusion, you know, even the impact is not going to be very large.
Okay, so do we want to take this to a vote to have this be our non-pictorial logo?
Do we have a question? Where is this ad going?
It's going to a lot of places. It's going to be huge. Where is it going?
It's All Media Productions, which is the program that you get when you go see the show here in town.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the family market, so it's going to 105 different audience members for Child's Play, Phoenix Boys Choir, Arizona Ballet School, and Valley Youth Theater.
All right. This is what I'd like to say. And then I think we should move on. Because we have not chosen a new logo, let us use the old logo, this with Phoenix Conservatory of the Music, in red underneath, period. Because that's what everybody knows. How is that? Okay. Because then there's no confusion. People, when they go to the website, they'll see this, but what we'll do, a little twist, we will do Phoenix Conservatory of Music in red.
And make it pretty. Have kind of like a yellow on the outside.
Yeah, a little.
We'll just put this right there, little one, and then we'll spell it out in bright red so it stands up or pops out. How's that? We'll put this in black, so like it is here. So that's our logo, and we'll put Phoenix Conservatory Music in red so it stands out. It's not a logo change. We're just jacking it up. How's that sound?
It's good mood.
How's that sound?
I do think that's a good thing. We want to take advantage of the this thing, and we don't want to dumb it down.
The new logo, so we are, you know, since we already have one, we'll just stick with it. So such time.
So one font, one color.
Yeah, it's basically one line or even two lines or three lines, but it's the same font. However, whatever font you want to use, but it's got to be in red.
And then we put a small this logo right on top of it.
In that space that you suggested.
Okay, and this way it's our logo. We jazzed it up. Because you can write Phoenix Conservatory Music in any font you want. You can make it curlicue. It doesn't matter. But your logo is the key. So the logo will be there. And then you're just jazzing it up with the words.
I think it is.
So if you want to make it fancy, you can put in a nice font.
Oh, is that in certain?
We can stuff the yellow around the red to make it stand out.
Yeah.
But
you know what I'm saying? To make it.
So, I mean, okay. We have the symbolic
logo. Does
that sound
good?
The symbolic logo sitting right around here in this spot.
Right.
That would unify.
Right.
What we're trying to say there.
Exactly.
And it could stay in that block, in that. It could stay that way, but just one font.
Exactly.
In the same exact.
And we won't have to see curling, you know, but we can still jazz it up in terms of color and shape, or whatever you want to do. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on.
Well, we have the votes.
Wait, is this something that needs to be voted on?
If it's not, then are we agreeing that we're all going to do that? Otherwise,
everybody agree? Anybody disagree? Anyone disagree?
Well, I still disagree. I don't like that notion, but I'll stand.
It's a
I'll stand and compromise. Yes. There we go. Okay, so besides that, anything else for the Executive Director's Report?
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Can I ask one question? What time period is this going to be going in?
Next season.
Oh, okay.
So September through next year.
And deadline is tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the deadline. In essence, we have to bear responsibility for this because we didn't approve a new logo. Okay, so that's all I have to say.
Okay, moving on to old business here. Okay, so we have two current vacant positions on the board. We have secretary and treasurer. Do we have? Haven't heard some people interested in the two positions, but we haven't heard any definitives yet on secretary or treasurer yet. So, I'd like to bring this up to the board if they have anybody that they might have in mind that could fill those positions. I guess it's time for recruitment. Just like how I was recruited for secretary.
I did have a meeting with Mark Hennessy, who's very interested in the treasurer position.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, sorry, what was that?
I don't know why. He's not here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he sent me an email saying that he's going to be late, if at all. I mean, and I told him, you know, come late anyway.
Okay.
And I hope that he got that email.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was here last week, right?
Last week.
Yeah. So besides those two, we need to find those two positions. It's not a real huge time commitment. It's just a matter of, like, secretary and treasurer is just a matter of being here and taking care of those duties. Okay, on to claim jumpers and restaurant partnerships. So we got the results from that effort.
You know, I did greatly, but it wasn't much.
Mm-hmm.
$39.04.
So I think next time we need to promote it differently, and I'm not quite sure how any of us promoted them. I know I sent out emails to pretty much everybody in my entire contacts list, and I'm also in some women's networking marketing organization, so I promoted it and those things too, and a lot of my business cards, I put little flyers out, but
mm-hmm.
still that wasn't... I don't know how anyone else did. So I'm not sure what else I personally could have done more.
Did we have enough time?
Well, we didn't
have enough time.
It was four locations.
It was four.
And I sent out emails to everyone I knew and everything like that.
And I think part of it was being a Monday night, but they only did it Monday, went Tuesday and Wednesday. So I'm not sure. Tuesday or Wednesday would have really been much different. Maybe a little bit better than a Monday.
Yeah, I don't even think so. I mean, that honestly has everything to do with the fact that it's June in Phoenix.
Gas prices.
And claim jumpers on the pricier end of a restaurant scale.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, our cab came to $200 by the time we were done. So it would have been cheaper to give the organization $50.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did everybody, or did anyone read the email that...
Yeah.
Somebody sent.
Yeah, the email.
That sounded like a pretty good deal. Rubio's.
Elizabeth.
These things are successful. I mean, $39 is what it brought in, but everybody in your organization knows about this now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got an impression. And I think if we can continue to do these Rubio's, they're simple, easy to do.
Was it Rubio's or I can't remember?
Rubio's is what she proposed.
And whenever you're sending out, hey, go to Rubio's, too, so even if they don't go, that they stop.
We get tons of responses on that stuff, you guys, from the people that really matter. You know, like the Arizona Commission on the Arts always sends me stuff back. Going, oh, you guys, this is so the way to do this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So even if it doesn't generate much in revenue, just the fact that we're out there doing things is huge.
So perhaps we need to see this as one of our marketing strategies for community relationship building, and not so much as fundraising in terms of dollars expected.
Success based on the dollars expected.
So why don't we look at it that way so we don't feel like, oh my God, all we got was
$30.
The amount of people we might have reached.
And we still use
it. Well, then I wouldn't have normally sent an email to
you.
Yeah.
So let's do it as
that,
you know.
I think that it is worth the effort because it's almost like, you know, writing newsletters. It's something to keep your presence out there.
And what might be good is that maybe we have an email that we can send to everybody, so it's the same email that we can just forward on and say, money raised will help 1, 2, 3, and it maybe even has something like this or whatever. That way people are like, okay, wow, the money is going to these immediate things. And that's an email that we could put together.
Like a script.
It's like a script, basically, and then we forward
it. A real script. send it out.
Yeah, if we do that every so often, I think that's just a good way to keep our name out there.
Okay. Well, I mean, we had the idea originally to do it once a month.
I don't know that July is already pretty late for July, but I will have Lindsay go ahead and get started on the Rubio's. Yeah, summer is just generally a bad time to do this, you know, but August is, school's already back in session, so I think August would be fine. And Rubio is like a cool place to go. I think she also mentioned that it was only we had to pick one location or one day, or one day.
It's every location, just one day. Okay, cool. One day. And it's 20%. Well, yeah, 20% is big. Yeah, pull up the email here. I will have Liz do that. You know what's a good, something that we could do on there too, Rubio's, is Nye and Regina, I don't know if this is possible, but on our website we have a link to PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can embed that link at the bottom of the email. If you aren't able to make this, you can always donate to PCM. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like an inclusive
Who's getting any of the campaign stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Donate, donate, donate. I've got to tell you guys something. If you want to see a masterpiece of fundraising,
go
to Barack Obama's site. I am telling you.
Let's take
unbelievable. Those ideas.
Well, because what I'm doing,
it is, you've got to see the website.
Donate now.
Well, no, not only that.
Unbelievable.
I'm fulfilling the need.
Mm-hmm.
By donating to me, this is what you're what impact you're having in the community.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they're saying.
They had a community,
they said as soon as...
They had community awareness on Saturday. What they did is, they invited people to have small groups in their home to talk about issues and donate. And then they gave you kits. They told you what or how to do. And I'm telling you, it's awesome. Awesome.
There are some principles to be gained.
Beautiful.
And so I envision an email that says, like, this month's restaurant, whatever, and then it goes, it benefits, real simple language, not a lot of text, it benefits this, but if you can't make it, you know, the Obama thing, and just click here to donate.
No, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And that we were sort of sneaking in.
Yeah. And taking advantage of that.
You know, by the way, I've donated twice in my life, and that was $225 donations to the Obama. I was like, okay.
Because the website is so simple, and they have all the interaction, and, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well, let's get the donation.
But yeah, when you go to the website, see.
Yeah, boom. Yeah, right there.
And then enough emails.
And then they
there,
encourage you
there,
to blog with other people. And let me tell you one thing they did. I didn't raise so much money. If you give $15, they find you somebody to match you. And they put you in touch with the person. So you don't feel like you have in 100. So it's a small. It will get you a person to match you.
Mm-hmm.
We could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they got millions of dollars.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, who's your music
fan? Yeah, we that's another good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not reinvent the wheel, man. These are
copy
thousands of dollars worth of whatever. But yeah, maybe we might be able to create a buddy system. Like, who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you donating to?
Even $15.
Who's your music match? Who's your? I like that buddy system.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Me and so and so donate $20 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, well, thank you, Obama.
Marketing strategy.
All right. They've got the best people on that. Good example. Good case study.
So then maybe August for Rubio's.
Whatever, the soonest available.
Ice cream.
Kindness
is
an ice cream place.
Oh,
ice cream in the
summer. Cold Stone's Creamery is very big on that.
Yeah.
Are they on the list?
They are.
Who picked them?
I know one here.
Is this you?
Yeah. Could you call them?
I haven't called them yet.
Would you call them?
She's my fundraising partner. She and I are fundraising partners.
Okay, you guys are
fundraising buddy.
Yeah, fundraising
partner. Ice cream sells.
We bring the fun in fundraising.
Yeah.
Pizza. Yeah. It was a good learning experience, I would definitely have to say.
But it generated all this.
I was going to say, I ate for 3 days. It was fine.
Wonderful. Okay, so with that, we definitely have a lot of potential with that, so that's really encouraging. It's definitely not a lost effort at all. Okay, next item on the agenda, the fundraising committee. We have a report.
Yeah, you know, I saw that list, and I thought, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought that at a last meeting before, it was decided that we're going to have a fundraising committee.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be part of it. So, what Regina said about us having... Maybe we could just do a buddy system.
A
buddy system.
It's not a bad idea. Because
then it'd be like just two of us on each thing, or four board members, or instead of, how does that, I mean, would that be easier than trying to have a separate fundraising committee?
Yeah.
Yes.
We all have our hearts in this, and we just aren't producing. Okay? And it's not a slam on anybody, but we have lives and whatever, but I think there's something to be said about, okay, if you have a workout partner, you're going to go to the gym 2 to 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you may sneak in the once or twice.
It's
just how
it is. Or not at all.
Yeah, exactly. But if you have that workout partner, you feel committed. You know? So, I mean, I like that idea. Let's try it because I don't know.
So let's put that,
we could pair up everybody up with one other person. Then
we
send each other emails like, hey, did you get a hold of the Cold Stone Free?
Yeah.
What can I do for you?
Rather, it's better, definitely.
Yeah, this is fine.
Let's try it.
You know
what
I
mean? I think Hillary.
Well, I do.
Don't work on stuff.
I do think even with the partner system, we need somebody to basically head the fundraising.
Yes, it's me.
And Beverly.
Checking with it.
Yeah.
Well, Beverly's still the head.
Yeah, you're still the head fundraiser.
I'd like to have some other people.
Grandmother.
Yeah.
You know.
And now everyone's got partners.
So should we assign everybody now, or?
Well, I mean, the only people that are left are Brian and Tiffany. And then you and I can be fundraising.
Okay, definitely do
that.
Until Mark comes on board.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim, he's doing fine all on his own, you know. Although he's got lots of ideas. So if anybody wants to be his partner,
he's a free.
I think in the interest of creativity, we have set up a lot. We've generated a lot of ideas from the last year in terms of fundraising. We have tons of ideas. But I'd like to change it a little bit. I'd like to allow the teams to brainstorm and come up with their own ideas.
As opposed to us
giving them stuff to do right now. Because maybe they could come up with something that's short term, that they want to do.
It's easier.
But can we try it that way?
Yes, I like that. And not just the partnership isn't so much to, you know, like you were saying there, but it's easier for two people to get together to have coffee than it is a community to meet or have a phone conversation.
Yeah.
So,
much easier.
Let's use that as brainstorming, little mini brainstorming teams.
Can we say actionably by the next time we meet, you and your buddy will have an idea?
Yes.
As well as an implementation timeline with a deadline.
Yeah.
Well, I do like that idea, but then sometimes we might be working cross purposes too. So, then we still need to check the balances.
Right. Well, we can.
We've submitted to. Well, actually,
by the next meeting, we'll have it on the table.
Yeah. That actually
kind of.
Also,
email.
Exactly.
Yeah. If we come up with an idea, now it emails everyone else saying, here's what
do you think?
Yeah. Well, that kind of goes into the new business, which is what we're going to be discussing about collaborative efforts later.
Okay.
So we'll,
that'll run
right into it. But we have to go into. So with that, we'll move on and table. I mean, we got the good idea of the buddy system, and then we're going to talk about collaborative efforts and communications later in the new business. Okay, next item on the agenda is Google Groups communication. Is everyone getting the Google Groups emails?
Yes.
Because there was a question of if everyone signed up on it or if it's actually coming through. I know Hillary is having some problems.
I can't.
Not Hillary. Tiffany. Sorry. I was like, no, not you.
Tiffany.
Tiffany was having, I don't know why. Like, I'm having a, well, I think, I'll blame it on jet lag and being gone for 2 weeks.
We are.
Tiffany's having issues, and you can't post.
I can't post.
Yeah, you can't post. Well, actually, wait. I don't know.
You want to try it for email?
Well, you should be able to post by just emailing to PCM groups, and it is actually making it.
It says, I get a response back saying that
you're not allowed to post.
Yes.
Well, when check manage groups, there's a
It's probably the way you have your origination set, so with the...
Suddenly you're speaking in a different language.
Yes.
So I think it's just a matter of setting your allowable email to... Okay, yeah, I'll fix that, no problem.
Okay,
no.
Thanks.
Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so anyway, so, like in here, yeah, your email's been making it here. But, like, mine, Tiffany's worked. Okay, so she did figure that out. Finally get that to work.
I think Tiffany sent you what it looked like a personal email. She sent it to
her. No, actually, well. This one right here?
No, not that. Well, either way,
okay.
The question that we do, we still want to keep?
Oh, no, I just want to check and make sure that everyone's on it, and we just, because, like, you know, we don't really have a reliability test. I mean, I sent that test through, and I got responses, but I didn't check and see if anyone didn't respond yet, didn't cross-check it yet, so we'll have to do that. But it appears that everyone here, at the very least, is on board.
Well, I have a question.
You're getting the emails? You're not. Tim's not getting them. Okay.
No.
So you're not signed on to that yet. Okay. So then...
should you have a question? Should this Google group include everybody that isn't an official board member, including potential board people, or is it just the board? Just a question.
The reason I ask that is because
it keeps people in the loop that were recruited.
I think that we should include potential board members on this communication. Where and then if they decide to not want to be a board, they can always opt out. Yeah, or they could just still read our internal communications.
Okay, so are Mark and Alicia on here?
I don't believe so. So okay. I think probably one of the first things we should do is just like as we recruit board members is. Get them into the group, and then so they can start getting a feel for our communications.
Yeah. Well, we'll let them know.
Yeah, we'll let them know.
Yeah.
Just sign them up. Like, you're in the groups now, whether you like it or not. Okay. Okay. So it is reliable. So Tim is the only one that isn't getting the correspondence in. So none of these appear familiar as far as subject lines, like the email, the message I wrote about the Virginia Piper meeting last week being very encouraging. You did not get this email.
I got that one.
So, okay. Well, unfortunately, everything that's sent through here is also kept online, so you can always go back and look through it. So, signing up is really easy. We could probably take care of that in a few minutes after the meeting. Oh,
we're trying to find a celebrity in the
episode. Yeah, so we're seeing if if people have any ideas.
Well, I would say recognizable by the average person.
Yeah. Or even the average corporate member.
Or
an individual or corporate.
Do they have to be a board member or can they be a sponsor?
No. We want them to be a board member. They can be an honorary board member, but consultants that they should really have them as a board member. Mm-hmm. And that means the honorary meaning that they don't have to come to the meeting or the Cardinal games.
Okay, so besides that.
Not necessarily a musician, you can also be an actor, sports person.
So that's
good. People in mind.
No, that's what we're trying to
bounce around to. Yeah, we got our major list from Wikipedia, which is really good. We got this, which is a great resource of names that we could look up. A lot of them are out of town too, so So this is just a little segue of something we're trying to do.
Along with that, we could get letters of endorsement from these individuals.
It's a good idea.
And we could even draft a letter to them for them to modify, because they don't have to write them on. Just draft the basic things that we do, and then they can endorse them.
You want to do that?
You want to do that, Dan?
Yeah, you know what, I will. I'll draft the letter.
Yeah, this could be a good page to start.
I hung out with Chris Kirkwood last night. That was amazing. He's a bass player for New Puppets. All those bands I sent you that were from Phoenix.
Yeah. From Phoenix?
Yeah.
You mean this list?
No, no, the one I sent you.
Oh, yeah.
He also got shot at the post office.
There's a lot of professional athletes in town that are musicians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
Mm.
On the basketball team.
Wayman's,
I don't know if he lives here anymore.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Certainly,
yeah.
Or kind of a music sort of guy.
Yeah, they don't have to be a musician.
Closet musicians, like, sort of like.
They're perfect, actually, because
they speak to our mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just real quick, there's a potential for him or his wife to come on board. That's the singer of Jimmy World.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a potential to get Roger Klein involved. He's with the Peacemakers.
We've contracted out to the
Brooklyn.
He does the Solid Rock Foundation.
See, yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. Yeah, he's most recognizable, but he's already doing stuff.
He's doing.
Yeah. Oh, he's doing lots of stuff, which is good.
I know the chart is a lot.
But unfortunately, he doesn't have room for us.
You can scroll down.
Oh, sure.
Trish McCarthy.
There's a potential to get
this
guy.
Yeah.
And individually, the members of the Jim Blossom.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Newscasters as well, guys.
Yeah.
Newscasters.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There's a few that are musicians, actually. You know, John Hook. He's pretty famous. He plays guitar and piano. I've met him before.
Radio.
And there's a lot of those guys that are, and they're well known.
And this is and even bigger list right here. This is the list of musical groups.
It would take much of a letter.
Okay, so, actual items for this. Dan will draft a endorsement letter, and then we'll pursue the Wikipedia list as the starting point for trying to make musical contacts to get a potential celebrity board member, and also include athletes.
I would throw all the teams, the local teams,
mm-hmm.
baseball,
football,
hockey,
yeah.
whatever.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Could
and
we?
The newscast.
Could we have some kind of function, or say we might in person, to do something with kids, you know, promote pictures and then you'd like that to be ready for this children,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, you know, right. We do some kind of little function, and that person would be the guest of honor for the kids. I do want some kind of thing.
What
you think? Yeah, what we pretty much look at is it's something that's pretty standard, and that's like a house party, mm-hmm. you know, where somebody hosts us, and we invite we have a couple of performances, you know, appropriately, you know, kids, or maybe one of the instructor with some of the kids, and then it's like a fundraiser, it's a fundraiser, mm-hmm. you know, you might be asked. Yeah.
Fundraiser? I like that.
Yeah, so, and it's really a way for us to showcase what we do in a really neat environment in someone's home. And then the guest of honor can be two or three, or just maybe one musician that we're really actively courting. And then we can invite some of these. Like, a lot of these folks aren't super famous, but they're well known enough to spread the word better than anyone of us can do. I think that's a neat to pursue if anyone's
absolutely
okay, so we're done for the month.
There's your idea. There we go.
You know, there's a major event coming up in Sedona Jazz on the Rocks, which is
September.
And that could be a good vehicle for promotion for this organization because a lot of Valley people.
You know, that'd be real glad you brought that up, Regina. When we were at that opening night at at the mm-hmm. gas bar on the west side, there were some people from that, from Flagstaff. And he's like, get a hold of us, and I never followed, we never followed up, so maybe that's a good route.
That's a big, you know, it's a long event, and they mm-hmm. promote pretty heavily, so you could hook up with them.
Yeah. And you can ask a couple of questions. And pardon my ignorance on this, but do we have are any of our ensembles? How many ensembles do we have?
None right now.
Okay. One of the things, and this would be more of a long term, because we don't have ensembles, is creating. And it's really hard to do if you don't have. Now we have a building. Like Silver Lake has ensembles because the kids often can be there. We didn't have that up until North Carolina. We now have that opportunity, and they showcase their talent via. You know, talent shows or, you know, their performances. I mean, I know we do that too, but if you have a little ensemble of 12-year-old little kids in a little band, that's really easy to get them to play at Modified during First Friday or something like that. And how did you guys learn all this while doing this game? So those are some, I guess, projected. But that's something that you're going to decide.
When we're ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, right
now we're still trying to
get enough
stuff in the door to get the oh, yeah. going. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. So moving on. We could put that under new business because that's something that we could definitely pursue later on. Okay. So besides, let's just check through the rest of these. Okay. PCM logo revisited. But I think we've thoroughly covered that. Marketing committee report. That was Brian.
Brian and Tiffany.
Yeah.
Actually, can we maybe to resolve all of this mm-hmm. is by the next meeting, all logo submissions need to be here. Mm-hmm. We'll all look at them and we'll all vote, including that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if part of the website design, wasn't he also going to potentially do a logo?
Yes, so
will we have that
could be another change.
I will tell them that it needs to be submitted by next week. Well, like it to be in. Because I think it's really important to have a logo, but we don't
mm-hmm.
also just don't want to pick one because we're at a deadline to pick one.
Well,
so, I think we need to make
sure that we have. Yeah, but I think if we let it drag on too long, it's also going to be a lot
more
it's already dragged on long enough because, between last meeting and the previous meeting, we moved so slowly. I think we could be able to knock this out in a couple of days or so.
Well,
I think we need more ideas.
Why don't we do an open call to whoever the heck you know. Whoever wants to submit a logo, submit it. And mm-hmm. and either it's going to be at the next meeting or the meeting after. But one of those two meetings.
Let's go ahead and say the next meeting. So the website is being developed.
Yeah.
And we are continuing to move forward in getting everything decorated around here.
Because we need it for our 10-year.
We have that right feel, that right brand that matches.
Okay.
We can develop cohesiveness.
So, wherever you know that's an artist out there that wants to submit.
We'll probably do a general call through the online as well.
If we have
a 10-year-old kid who comes up with a great logo idea, or the kid that's had their sign already out there, you know.
Just say, hey, you want to design our logo?
We're working on our logo.
That's cool.
But we also probably should let Brian know that we're doing this because I don't want him to think, be offended.
Sure he'll be okay with it.
Okay, so I guess we'll send an email through Google Groups. Since Regina can't send that email, I guess I'll send that email. All right, next item is the Marketing Committee Report. We already passed. Next item, MySpace Online Presence Revisited. So have we gone anywhere with that, or do we want to pursue that any further?
I think we should wait until we get a website.
Yeah, I agree. So we table that. Last item on the old business line, public allies.
We have been selected as one of the possible candidates, slowly as that sounds. We're going to be doing a site visit sometime in the next 2 weeks where they're going to come and make sure that we have appropriate office space for them. Stuff like that.
This is very good.
I think that'll be
important. Well as really talk about what it is that they're wanting them to do. Now, they can do any fundraising. So, Dee and I have talked about it a little bit. And the things that they'll be doing is a lot of the program coordination mm-hmm. that I spend a lot of time on, and he spends a lot of time on things like making sure that the teachers know when they're supposed to be there, at what building, in what room, talking to the coordinators, making sure that the door is unlocked, the supplies are there, packets are made, you know, which is a full-time job in the end. And teachers are very needy when it comes to that kind of stuff. So if we have somebody to do that, and do also volunteer recruitment. We only have 8 out of the potential 30 that we need for the Cardinals season. Anybody is a ticket, right? So if you can't volunteer, please help us find some folks to volunteer.
At least one person.
When's training on the
back? Not until late July. Okay, we won't have training days. And then, you know, the reason we have enough to staff now, but realistically, like, he doesn't want to have to work every single day. It's hard, you guys. And yeah. Dave and I do work every single day. And Jim and Renee work most every single day. And that's not fair to those, I mean, our volunteers are coming out.
I know.
Yeah, I sent you an email. I think I might be able to make half of the games. We've been gone for half the other half of the time.
That's all right. Even honestly, if we get 30, then everybody only has to work 3 games.
Big 3 in numbers.
Big 3, yeah. So I mean, that's realistic. And then it's still fun. It's not like, I mean, he and I got the email to sign the contract, and we're like,
already?
I'm still recovering from already. Super Bowl.
But I still think of the barbecue place. That was 10 times harder.
Yeah. Guys, we have it so easy now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, however, if we get our 30, then we can have 10 volunteers. If we get 10 volunteers, they are going to give us a draft portal as well.
Oh, nice.
Okay, and draft portals make at least 2 bills each game. So it takes our income from 500 games to 700. You know, over a series of 11 games, which is an extra, you know, $2,200.
Good amount.
Okay. Right. So Public Allies, we still have to go through a process just because we have a site visit doesn't necessarily mean that we have a public ally. If the site visit goes well and we get approved beyond that second stage, we have a day long of the 22nd of July, by the way, of interviews where we get to go and interview potential candidates, and they get to interview us, and we get to see if we have a good match.
On the public allies, what are some things? Because they're going to want, obviously, to put their public allies in as high level as possible. What are some things that we would feel comfortable with a public ally doing? Of course, not fundraising, not out maybe representing the
organization. Right. Actually, we kind of designed a position about what it is that they're wanting to do.
Okay.
We can't have them actually doing direct service contract with the kids. Because they don't have their fingerprint ID cards and clearance. They don't have, they're not musicians. But they can do the next best thing, and that's work with the musicians.
Right.
And go observe the classes, and the teachers, and talk to the kids, and talk to the attendants, and do the volunteer coordination. They really are pushing.
So in essence, they're administrative assistants. Right.
Essentially, yeah. Program coordination.
Program coordination.
Yeah. Right. And another thing that they could do is work on our action items that sometimes get tabled and tabled and shelved.
Well, you know what? They don't really want doing any administrative work.
Well, there are some action items that really aren't administrative work. They're like researching, following up, and doing some, maybe the key, the best ones that are on the action items, not the administrators.
Because otherwise, that would be great. You can have somebody actually enter in the accounting.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm very excited.
But you can slip that.
Okay.
How long are they being
for? Next May.
September. That's really nice.
For $5,500, that's our all cost.
That's very good.
That's really good.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right. That basically concludes old business. All right, and then on to the new stuff. I'm passing around an assessments sheet. Basically, it's assessing our technology. I don't know what's the best word to put it. Where we are at with technology right now, and like one of the things I wanted to spend a few minutes on, and hopefully we can't go through this, is to basically benefit from the last conference that I went to with the American Associations of Family Conservative Science. their entire emphasis for that conference was technology integration in the classroom. And with Family Consumer Sciences, they're like one, they're like a really old, traditional, like, you know, rooted in very, very old tradition, and not a lot of them have technology or are willing to work with technology. So for them, for this organization, which I consider one of the last, like, educational organizations or facets to adopt technology, to for them to finally embrace it, I think it's a real big step and change in everything like that. The video that I showed you leading into this basically was demonstrated as, like, you know, these are the kids that we're dealing with right now, and that's actually a college level. It's even worse at the high school, junior high, and grade school level. And actually, I could give you a 15-minute PowerPoint presentation about the educational scales of how, like, you know, kids are learning these days, utilizing technology, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I won't go into that. Lots of really interesting things. But one of the things that I wanted to take advantage of, especially with this board, is basically take you guys through a short learning activity about Web 2.0. So with the assessment there, I didn't put this on there, but anyone know what Web 2.0 is? Okay, no. So you've heard the term Web 2.0, it's cliche.
Yeah.
Okay, best way to describe it, and I heard this in one of the sessions, and this doctorate of something or other said it plain, simple English. Web 1.0 is about commerce, businesses putting out the information for you to feed. Web 2.0 is about people creating the information for everyone. So Web 2.0 is more of a concept than an actual product. The concept of people creating information. It's like one of the prime examples is what we're using right here, Wikipedia. Yeah.
Like Wikipedia.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I totally banned in my classroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not like 100% reliable, because anybody can change it, but it's a really good source of information to get a good basis of stuff. And it's user-created content, which is really key. So so one of the reasons why I thought of this, especially for our group, is as a board member, we have a lot of things we have to do. I mean, we're a very special board. We're a working board. We're doing a lot for PCM, and we want to do more. But for a lot of us, like, we lack time, and especially, like, you know, in the case where, like, Tiffany and Brian, you know, they couldn't make it. So one of the encouraging aspects of the way that the web is developing now is for collaboration to happen not in meetings anymore, but the meetings are reserved for, like, you know, getting together and working out a specific problem. But you could do everything you need prior to the meeting, so that the meeting is the most efficient as possible. And I'd like to see our board start to adopt some of those tools, so that we could get a lot more stuff done, and in the end, the end result is to have fewer meetings. Because and just have, like, more effective meetings in the end, because, like, honestly, like, you know, it's hard to make it to every meeting. I know I have for the most part, but like, you know, especially the summer, I have for the most part, because the reason is because everyone's put their schedules around me. That's why I'm able to make it. But like, you know, it shouldn't be that way. And you know, for everybody to make it to meetings all the time, it's just so difficult, because we all have, like, our real lives, you know, besides our second life, which is a whole nother thing. But yeah.
Life. I'm going to start off from guitar lessons
on the second life. So, you know, but we won't go into that tangent. But I just want to get everyone's feel about that concept, about utilizing the new tools. And I'm going to be demonstrating new tools here as something that we could use as a board, so that we could collaboratively get more things done and utilize the internet. So, I mean, the assessment, I mean, I guess everyone could safely say we use email, we use the internet, we use the web. There's probably a lot of, like, concepts on there that not many people have heard of, such as RSS, RSS feeds. I mean, we've familiar with Wikipedia, but have you ever used the wiki before? No. So
he was just trying to show off because he checked everyone.
Well, of course I checked everyone.
Yeah, when we were deciding voting whether or not to do the lease on this housing, and we had a really good active email conversation.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we had a deadline, we had a decision we couldn't meet.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean that, I don't know what where you're going with this, but just that email conversation I thought was really productive, and we got our questions answered, and
email is definitely a very, I mean, very effective means of.
So we know we can do that.
We can definitely do it, but there's so much better tools out there that you know we can.
Are you gonna take us there now?
I'm gonna try to take you there. You know, try to hop on my choo-choo train, express train, to Technology Express, I guess, and not fall off. I know. I mean, and you know, to me, I think this is a very big change, but this is something that I like to see happen because I believe that in this organization, like, you know, and that's one of the things that, like, you know, made me successful in our business is like we're just like a few of us, but with technology, we're able to move the entire education industry within our field.
But don't you have to type all that text in?
Oh yeah, that does require.
We're talking about a million words here.
Yeah, typing. I know that's one of the big hurdles.
That, you got voice recognition for us too.
But for hopefully, you know, with the stuff, we'll be able to circumvent a lot of typing. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about is utilizing the collaborative tool called Wikipedia. So you understand Wikipedia as it is, as a global reference. Yeah, you know, you go there, you can look up, you know, musical groups in here, and find out what they are. You know, you read about the group, so on and so forth, and it's because somebody created it out there. Because there's so much information you can't spend all your time creating. So I'm going to go through a quick little video on Wikipedia in plain English. So this is a 4-minute video, but this is really
interesting. These four friends are going on a camping trip. They need to bring the right supplies because they're backpacking. The group needs to plan and plan well, so coordination is key. They're all computer users, so they start planning with an email. It starts with one, but then becomes a barrage. Email is not good at coordinating and organizing a group's input. This is the old way. Boo! The important information is scattered across everyone's inbox. This isn't coordination. Let's start over. There is a better way. It requires you using a website called a wiki. Using a wiki, the group can coordinate their trip better. This is the new way. Yay! Most wikis work the same. They make it easy for everyone to change what appears on a web page with the click of a button. It's as easy as erasing a word and rewriting it. The buttons are really important. There are two that are essential. They are edit and save, and they are always used together. Let's see them in action. Here are our camping friends, and this is a wiki website. Like all wikis, it has an edit button. Clicking this button transforms the web page into a document. All you have to do is click it, and the web page becomes a document, ready for editing. Editing the page means you can add or remove words, or change how they look, just like writing a letter. Once you're finished editing, you click save, and the document becomes a web page once again, and is ready for the next person to edit it. Easy. Edit, write, and save. Using this process, a group can coordinate more easily. Let's apply this to our camping friends who need to bring the right supplies. Mary signs up for a wiki site and then sees the new site for the first time. She clicks the edit button to get started. She creates two lists for camping, what we have and what we need. Under we have, she lists the things she will bring, a cooler, stove, and flashlight. Under we need, she lists items that others need to bring, compass, lighter, water, and food. She finishes the process by clicking save, and the website now has lists for the camping trip. Now it's John's turn. John visits the wiki website, clicks edit, and the page becomes a document ready for him to make changes. John volunteers to bring food and water, so he moves those to the have column. He also realizes the group will need a knife and rope. Once he's finished, he clicks save, and the wiki is ready for the next person. Henry visits the wiki, clicks edit, and he can edit the page. He remembers they need a tent. Henry saves the page, and the wiki is ready for Frank. Frank edits the page and agrees to bring the remaining items, completing the process.
So it seems pretty easy.
Frank saves the page and realizes something awesome. The group has created the perfect camping list without email.
And actually, I just went through this hell.
But wait, one thing is missing. They need a location for the campsite. The wiki can help with this too.
Everyone brought pages in everything.
John visits the wiki and clicks edit.
Yeah,
he types in the word locations and highlights it.
He then clicks the link button.
This changes the word locations into a link to a new page.
Okay, so actually we don't need a code. But anyway, the tool is simple. I mean, this is why Wikipedia was developed, was so that you could use the web in a collaborative effort, so we could accomplish something like that. Of course.
Is it secure, or can anyone?
Yes, it's secure. I mean, you set it up. Basically, the Wikipedia is secure in the fact that you have to have a username and password to be able to make the edits, and all the information is tracked as to who's done what. So and there's versioning. So if somebody, like, you know, let's say Dee was very vengeful and she went through and deleted everything and changed PCM into, like, you know, ECM or something like that, we could just hit revert and then it goes back.
No, so there is an archive.
Oh yeah, every single edit made is archived and done through revisioning. But that's the Wikipedia tool. Of course.
So we'd have to set up a page.
Yeah, and
can
the
anyone besides us view it?
It depends on how you set it up. So you can make it private, you can make it public. That's one of the, it's very versatile. You know, every single question you probably ask me, I can say probably yes to.
Now, do we have to log on there periodically, or will there be an email saying
yes.
And will that email just tell you that, or will it post the page?
No, it'll tell you you can set up for either changes, or let you just notify you, Hillary made a change today, and you'd be like, okay, or click on the link and pops it up, or something like that. So, and
email would have the link, so you could click on it and bring it right there.
Yeah, so you'll know when somebody's gone in and edited it.
Will there be a donate
button? probably put one there. So yes.
Are these being used for group projects?
Oh, absolutely, especially in business, huge, in universities, it's
people
huge.
People who work at home.
Like that first video that I showed you, which is actually using Google Glass, which I'll show you in a minute, what that is. It's perfect for collaborative effort because everyone's working on the same page, and like, you know, email, like I was saying, like, it's a great communications method, but then eventually, like, you know, I get bombarded with 30 emails and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to read this today, I'll just wait five days later so I can catch up, and then, like, you know, by then it's already too late, you know, because there's just so much rapid communication and suggestions, but at least here we have, like, you know, the same page. So that's Wikipedia, and actually, you know, this is a video that we could have probably done prior to this meeting, you know, and we wouldn't save time.
But it's good to see it together.
Yeah. So I wanted to show it together so that we could move into it. And here, let's go here to, I mean, this is Web 2.0, sorry. Let's see here. Oops. This is PCN's wiki page.
Okay. Oh, so we have a page.
Yeah. And then this is a way to edit it. And actually, there's live foreign tags. You don't have to worry about the tags. And this is edits, and then
you can save, right?
And then I click on save, and then this is nice edit. So now if Hillary,
you're right.
Okay, right now this is open, so anybody who knows this exact site name would be able to view it.
So what's that site name?
KPUsers/PCM. Right now I'm hosting it because it's easy for me to set it up on my server.
I have a modern presenter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pick something, a discussion, a topic, a fun, whatever. Let's just pick anything right now as a beta, as a test run. Because this is great. Mm-hmm. This is really good.
Well, what do you think about the next item on our agenda list as our discussion? Seriously, because we're
going to
need.
Well, what is it though?
Oh gosh, yeah, and that's one of the things. Like, we're running out of time, so that's something that we could do. And here's another example. Google Docs. So that's a little touch on Wikipedia. Before we go any further, I want to show you another powerful tool that's absolutely fabulous for doing collaborative efforts, because Google Docs, and I'll show you why this is good, is...
Well, I'm sorry, you did something else now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm moving on to... I'm moving on to another tool, and then and then I'll show you how these two tools can be used in concert.
Okay.
Home is where we keep the things we need, whether it's a lawnmower or a coffee pot. It has a home in our lives. Of course, our documents are no different. For years, they lived on our computers. Each person has their own computer-based home for documents. When we need to share a document, we usually attach it to an email, send it to a friend's or coworker's computer home. Here's the problem. When you attach a document to an email, copies are created. Consider this. If you send an email attachment to three people, the same document will exist in four different places. That's a problem. There's a better way, and it means saying goodbye to messy email attachments. This new kind of home isn't on your computer. It's on the internet. And that makes sharing and collaborating on documents much easier and gives you full control over who can see and access your documents. Here's the basic idea. Instead of attaching a document to an email, let's switch it around and look at how we can attach an email address to a document. Meet Sam. Sam is the editor of a neighborhood newsletter called the Oak Tree View. She works with local writers who would like to publish articles in the newsletter. Sam loves her job, but often feels frustrated when time is wasted managing all the articles. It's a familiar problem. Each month, writers send her draft articles as email attachments. She reviews them and sends them back with comments. One article might create six different versions of the same file, not to mention countless emails. Sam often feels buried by all the email attachments. She finds it hard to keep track of all the versions being sent to her from the writers. As the deadline looms, frustration rises. Something has to give. Sam decides to try something new, Google Docs. Here's what happens. First, she visits the Google Docs page and creates a free Google account. She logs in, and because some articles were already written, she uploads the current drafts right from her computer. With a snap, Google Docs turns the offline articles into online versions. Now, all she needs to do is invite the writers to collaborate on the documents. Here's how. She clicks Share, inserts email addresses, and clicks Invite Collaborators. Google Docs sends the writers an email with a secure link directly to her document. One click, and they can edit and save the document online. This means that when Julie edits the document, Sam sees the changes immediately. Since there's only one document, there's never confusion about updates or versions. It's all saved, along with the past versions, on the website. For the first time, the articles all have a home, a single place for organizing and editing that is accessible from any computer with internet access. Problem solved. What's really cool is that this problem isn't just solved for documents, but also spreadsheets and presentations. All three can now have a secure home on the web that works exactly like Sam's documents. Sam is relieved. Without having to deal with attachments, multiple versions, and all that clutter, she can be an editor instead of a document master. For the next newsletter, not a single email attachment is sent, and Sam beats the deadline by a week. Sharing documents made simple, and all for free. Google Docs rocks.
Okay, so Google Docs rocks. Okay, there we go. Okay, now, you know, you're probably asking me, why am I showing you two different tools, like Wikipedia and Google Docs? They almost sound similar in a way, right?
I mean they do almost the same exact thing
and yes they do the same exact thing in essence.
Except that the docs are documents.
Yes.
Wikis for ideas.
Yes. Yes, that's a very good thing. So like, you know, here's a Google Doc that I created called Mission, Vision, Value. So if anybody who I've given access to can click in here and start typing something. And then it'll show up whenever you log in. And it's actually live. So when I type here, if you're viewing it on your screen, you'll see it happen.
That's
when you can say it. Yeah, it's really cool.
That's how the devil's work.
Gee, do you think we should use this for our calendar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Google's calendaring is amazing.
You guys, our calendar this summer has been like a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Calendars are
awesome. Oh, you never use regular calendars anymore. You go to Google... Google's calendars, which like this little interesting segue, but like in Google's calendar, everybody can go to the calendar, and then like you can go in there and assign something for Regina or assign something for somebody else, and it'll block it off based on the calendar, so you can show month, and then you see. Right now, I'm not using a calendar in here because I'm still old and antiquated. I'm still using Outlook. For shame on me.
I write it down.
So you saw two very powerful tools for instant collaboration. Okay, Wikipedia, great for creating a master resource of information, ideas, blah, blah, blah. Google Docs does the same thing. Great for creating documents. Like if we wanted to create an effort of editing the what's that called again? the big document, legal, the big boring document that we had to write last year. Bylaws, yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody could just go in there and make
three D plans. All those things.
Oh yeah, all those things. Great. Now one of the best things about Google Docs is that in Wikipedia you can't do it live. I mean, you can make changes, post it, but then if somebody's in there editing it at the same time, you know, they won't let you edit the two editors happen at the same time. Google Docs, I could be on you could be on. The great thing about Google Docs is that we could host a meeting, a creative meeting, virtually without getting together, and you know, so you don't have to spend an hour driving there, an hour driving back. And then, like, you know, be on the phone doing a phone thing, and then, or just online, just like start typing and then like start creating a document all at the same time. And if you guys, like, on this document, I'm making the edits, it's going to show up in blue. And if Dan's in there, he's going to show up red, and then et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, as the things get committed and changed, you know, it's a great way to do group work virtually, you know. So those are the two tools, and like, you know, for Google Docs, like, you know, I have these other documents, like, you know, here's another document that I created called Logo Ideas. So you put your logo in here, and then like here's idea number one, and then let's like, you know, idea one, and then you could do let's have a discussion. I like it, but it's black. So anyway, so now like, you know, Brian could be sitting at home, logging onto it, and we go, okay, this is, and then I made a comment, and then you'll be like, okay, well, and you make this comment too, et cetera, et cetera. And like, you know, it's actually really good for other stuff. Like, you know, I have my equipment logistics for the summer on here, so that like, you know, if somebody needs to change, like I need 30 demos sent to this state instead of the other one, you know, you can just log in and change the demo value, and then by the time we go ship, we'll go, okay, now we need 50, now we need 100, now we need 200. So like, one of my employees is located in Chicago, and like, I get sick and tired of emailing. I'm like, oh gosh, you know, just stop emailing me. Just put on the master document. So this is where, you know, all the different trips I'm going to, and yeah, I mean, to organize the whole thing, it's pretty daunting.
I apologize. Okay. Oh, that's okay.
So anyway, so
Google me.
Yeah.
So that's the tool, and I believe that, you know, since we've got overtime, thanks for coming.
We're
concluding on this. Like, one of the things that we need to do is redevelop our mission vision values, and I think this will be a great tool to leverage on creating a mission vision values. Because I mean, we could email each other and start an email campaign, and then start commenting on it, and then, like, you know, some of the comments get in, some of the comments don't get in, or like we could start utilizing this tool, and then, like, you know, we could go to it and go, okay, you know, here's another collaborative idea, or we could set up goals, like, you know, like by Wednesday, let's get together and, like, you know.
So which one are we going to use as the trial?
I think we have to do our mission values.
Yeah.
Okay.
On Google Docs, right?
On Google Docs, which
actually. As part of our consultancy, we have to at least show that we're doing an effort.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So right now I've got it started. So right now, like, you know, this is our mission statement. Example one, example two.
Could our logo discussion be done this way?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like right now I've got a logo one started right here. You know, idea okay. one, idea two, idea
maybe,
three.
Maybe both.
Okay.
That would speed it up.
Yeah. I mean, we're all frustrated by the logo, mm-hmm. but I think that we're getting there. We all care about the organization.
Yeah.
So I say we do the logo via this way. That way, by the end of the month, it's not, you're not seeing it for the first time. You're seeing it repeated times.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then we can see the development process, like, you know, as people start submitting and changing it, instead of getting an email, like, you know, here's a new email. So our basically, like, you know, I bring this to the board. Is this something,
yes.
is this something that we want to use? Okay. You feel comfortable enough?
Yeah.
Does everyone feel comfortable enough? Using this resource. Okay.
So
we'll that's
also do this for the 10th anniversary community.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean you could use it, and like, you know, the Wikipedia is created, so all we need is to be able to you know, create the proper documents, and we should be good to go.
Regina, I am meeting with Google Thursday for lunch, and
Google?
I play basketball with the guy that runs the Phoenix office.
Uh-huh.
So we're gonna be meeting We've been trying to meet for a long time, but we're going to meet Thursday for Arts and Business Council. But I'd like to either set up a follow-up meeting with us, or maybe if you can email me a couple or send me or give me now something that I can present to them on Thursday. It's not going to be like a one-off meeting. I mean, I see them regularly.
Okay.
Or have we submitted anything to them?
We have a Google Grant.
Oh, okay.
That just helps us get
hire
stuff here with typing, music lessons, after school,
stuff
like that. We
come up pretty good. Okay, so strategy for developing, we're going to do it online. So
yes,
that will be done by everybody collaboratively. And I'll send out emails on how to set up for...
Can you also send the links to the videos?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to put that in. Because for the people who didn't show up, I'm going to type up a brief tutorial on what I've done here. And then the 10-year anniversary committee, we need to form that. We can form it online and do it online easily. All right, next meeting.
When are you around again?
Let's do a Google Calendar.
Yeah, we can do a PCM Google Calendar because everyone's already, all you need is a Gmail.
And all you got to do is put available.
Yeah. Okay, so let's designate that later on. We don't have to set a firm date, but right now... Right now, tentatively. Let's see here.
Well, what is 6 weeks from now?
6 weeks from now is August.
The second week of August?
Gone. I'm back on the 18th. 18th is... I'm in conference on the 14th, the 4th and 11th, but not on the 18th.
How about the 25th?
Second.
25th? That's... 25th. Well, I believe that I feel very comfortable with that because I think with the online collaborations, we're going to get a lot of stuff done.
I agree.
And we don't have to have as frequent meetings. So, okay.
So should we shoot for the 25th?
Let's shoot for the 25th.
And everybody can put their availability via...
I'm not available.
Okay. But you can be available online.
You're available.
I won't be available online that day either, but I can be there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Prior to that.
All right, great. Well, then, that concludes this meeting. Thank you
very much.
Thank you for
adjourning
the meeting. I hope it was very informative.
Perfect.
And educational.
Thank you, Nye. Yeah. Congratulations on your first meeting.
Congratulations. Oh, thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you for the education.
Yeah. You're taking us there, Nye.
I hope I'm taking it.
Yes, you are. All right.